Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here, and today we are going to be talking a little bit about Tesla in China. We've also got a rumor on Giga Texas, some news on California banning internal combustion engine vehicles, more fallout from the Twitter whistleblower, and a couple of other items as well. So first things first here, this is the final day of Tesla trading around $900 per share because, of course, tomorrow the stock split will take effect. Tesla closing today up 0.2% to around $891 per share. So post-split price, depending on what happens in after hours and pre-market tomorrow, should be around $297 per share. So just prepare for that when you open your accounts tomorrow. This will also affect options. If you have any options contracts, those will also follow the same logic as a split. There'll be three times as many contracts and they'll be worth a third of the price. So same thing happens there. Sometimes it takes brokerages a little bit of time to get this all sorted out. So you might see some weirdness in your account, especially in percent changes tomorrow. Just something to be aware of. But we are now on our last trading day of the pre-post split trading prices. So now I have to talk pre-split, pre-pre-split. It'll be even more confusing, but yeah, should be a good time. I don't have one thing I did want to mention. I forgot to pull up the link here. Unfortunately, but before we move on to the rest of the stuff here, Dan Ives did increase his price target to $360 post-split. So I believe they were at $333 post-split before they increased their price target, but just wanted to point that out as well when we're talking about the stock here. All right, getting into Tesla China news. So Ray for Tesla today reporting some information that was shared by the Ministry of Information and Technology. According to their report, in 2021, so last year, Tesla China was the only new energy vehicle maker that was profitable when you exclude subsidy revenue that obviously China has electric vehicle credits. When you exclude those electric vehicle credits, Tesla was the only one of the new energy vehicle makers that was able to show a profit. They give the example of BYD here. They had a subsidy of about 5.2 billion RMB. So for BYD, that's about 750 million US dollars. Tesla was about 3.3 billion RMB. So that's about 500 million US dollars. So without that subsidy, Tesla obviously profitable. BYD, on the other hand, not profitable. And for BYD, of course, their sales include plug-in hybrids, not just pure electric vehicles. So even with something that, you know, theoretically should be a little bit easier to profit on with those plug-in hybrids, BYD still falling behind from a profitability perspective. I wanted to emphasize this point today because it shows something that is often under discussed, not necessarily on this channel or anything, but in the media in terms of Tesla's advantages. A lot of people will look at the comparative specs of electric vehicles, market share, you know, all of these other metrics, and try to assess the electric vehicle market from that perspective. But it's really leaving out the most important layer of context, right? Which is how profitable these vehicles are for the amount of sales that they're doing. And a lot of these units are just going into the market at cost, sometimes even below cost, trying to compete with Tesla, which is at, you know, 30% gross margins, 18% operating margins, when none of these other companies are anywhere close to that. They're having to compete with that, and their cost structures are so much higher than Tesla's. It's just not yielding anything for those companies yet when we talk about profitability, which is the entire point of a business. So it's nice to look at, you know, this electric vehicle or that electric vehicle has this amount of range compared to Tesla or this amount of acceleration. But at the end of the day, if they're not making any money, then it's not competitive. So it's just really important factor to keep in mind. And that's why I wanted to spend some time on this and open with this today. So I wish I had some more metrics on this. I haven't had time to, you know, pull all this stuff together. I would like to do that at some point, just to compare profitability of all these different electric vehicle makers, but something we'll do at some point in the future for sure. The other update on China, this is coming from Wuhua. We've been talking about the Sichuan power situation. Of course, the restrictions there were extended. Hopefully those, I haven't seen any more news on that. I did check today. Hopefully those power restrictions will be lifted as expected later this week. But we'll have to see. We'll continue to keep an eye on that. There are some electricity restrictions being implemented in Shanghai here, Wuhua's reporting, but it's primarily around, you know, what I would call like superfluous usages of power. So things like advertisements, electronic billboards, and things like that are being restricted, not anything to do with production. So I think wanted to pass that along and appreciate Wuhua sharing that context from from the power situation in Shanghai as well. All right, next we've got an update on Giga Texas. So Joe Tegmeyer often does drone flyover videos out there. He is reporting that according to some of his sources that he has talked to, Model Y production is at 200 plus units per day. Later on, he also says that he believes they're at 6 days a week of production. So we put those together, obviously that'd be about 1,200 vehicles per week. We know Tesla, or we believe Tesla just crossed the 1,000 per week milestone at Giga Texas based on that photo that we had talked about earlier. I think Holmars had shared that. That had Tesla signing a hood of a vehicle with, or you know, maybe a banner for 1,000 per week. So this seems plausible for Tesla to even be a little bit above that right now. If so, that's exciting progress in Giga Texas. So I wanted to pass that along. Obviously, just still a rumor at this point in time, but definitely exciting if true. All right, next up, as we had mentioned before a couple of times, Tesla had presentations scheduled for the Hot Chips conference today. That's been taking place, or it may have been yesterday. Anyway, wasn't sure if we'd get any news out of this, but it looks like we have at least a little bit here. So this was recapped by a website called Serve the Home, Tesla's couple of presentations here. So they've done a couple of different recaps here. Unfortunately, this is definitely well beyond my level of technical understanding. So I'm just going to link to both of these recaps here in the description today. A lot of stuff was similar to things that Tesla talked about at AI Day. So I think we've discussed most of the high-level concepts here. I don't think there was anything particularly new from that perspective. But in terms of the details, I do think that there's probably some significant things here that Tesla is talking about that probably they have not talked about in such great detail before. You can just see through some of these slides kind of examples of the level of detail that they are talking about. And again, unfortunately, just well beyond my technical level of understanding. So for those that are well more versed in that, I will put those links down in the description. And if you are one of those people, definitely feel free to share what you learn with us in the comments today. That would be very much appreciated. All right, next up, we've got just some news on California. Kind of weird that this is coming out today, but California is planning to ban the sale of new gasoline cars by 2035. So New York Times reporting on this here. They say that will be put to a vote tomorrow. So we'll have to see if that does pass. It sounds like that is very, very widely expected. New York Times here points out something that is important. California, a lot of other states base their energy policies off what California is doing. So this could have broader implications for other states and of course federally as well. Automakers are gonna adjust based on what's happening in California too. I know a lot of people say, you know, 2035, by then it's not going to matter because everyone's going to go electric anyway, but it is still important, especially for, you know, larger vehicles that maybe right now aren't as prioritized in terms of electrification. So it is still important that these deadlines are out there. It lets automakers know that, hey, this is, you know, for sure coming to an end despite what you may or may not think. And then there are some interesting interim targets, which are probably even a little bit more important. So the interim targets here are that by 2035 is the 100% target. By 2026, 35% of new passenger vehicles sold must produce zero emissions, and that requirement increases to 68%. Don't know why they chose 68% and not bump that up 1%, but 68% by 2030. So those interim targets might even be a little bit more important. I think California on its own would probably be tracking to that. I don't want to misquote it, but I think California might already actually be above 10%. So those first one should be relatively on their current trajectory. But anyway, the reason I say it's kind of weird that this is being discussed today is because back in September 2020, so almost 2 years ago now, Governor Newsom signed an executive order basically stating that by 2035 this would happen. So I'm not familiar with how the, you know, legislation all comes to be, but maybe this is, you know, more important because the California Air and Resources Board now signing off on it. But this was, you know, something that they had been planning on doing for quite some time now. One thing that maybe caused a little bit of concern for me, Toyota seems to be all on board with this. They tweeted out today that they continue to share the vision of greenhouse gas reduction and carbon neutrality goals with the California Air and Resources Board and the state of California. I don't know if they're just trying to, you know, spin that from a public relations perspective and they don't actually agree with it, but this definitely does not seem to be aligned with anything that Volkswagen has really said in terms of their strategy. So it makes me wonder if this is kind of as strict as it sounds like it is, or if there are some maybe loopholes hidden in there that Toyota has gotten in there or, happy about. So unfortunately, I couldn't find the exact structure from California Air and Resources Board, so I'll keep looking for that. If you have it, pass it along. But that was just something that kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit when looking at this news today. Right, next up, we talked yesterday about Volkswagen looking to secure stakes in mining companies in Canada. Looks like, I don't know if they've secured stakes or just memorandums of agreement, but looks like Volkswagen and Mercedes-Benz have both engaged in conversations and have secured agreements in California, or, sorry, in Canada for minerals. So unfortunately, we don't have any details on what exactly memorandum of understanding is what I was looking for. Unfortunately, we don't have any details on what exactly those agreements are at this point in time. But both of these automakers securing contracts pretty quickly after the Inflation Reduction Act, which of course incentivizes battery minerals from North America, they moved pretty quickly on this. So likely expected, but probably influencing their choices there. All right, next up, just want to kind of cover a little bit more of what we have had happen since this Twitter whistleblower complaint has been made public. So first off here, Bloomberg reporting that the Senate Judiciary Committee is going to be or has subpoenaed Peter Zatko, who we talked about yesterday. So apparently he will be appearing in front of the Senate on September 13th. So mark that on our calendars in terms of something that could lead to potentially new relevant information in Elon Musk's court case, which is of course scheduled for later in October. So we'll keep an eye on that. It also has also come out today that the SEC has been not necessarily officially investigating Twitter in terms of these whistleblower complaints, but back in June, even a little bit before some of this Elon Musk stuff had happened, the SEC had already contacted Twitter asking them for more information about the bot situation, fake accounts, and things like that. So Twitter, of course, responded with the same sort of responses that we have heard so far from them. So nothing from that point, but the SEC definitely looking at this already. And then we do also have The Verge or TechCrunch today reporting that Ireland, France have confirmed that they are also investigating what's happening here with Twitter. So this is a lot of fallout all of a sudden for Twitter. And again, I definitely think that strengthens Elon's case. We do also have the full filing. It is redacted, but we do have the full filing of the complaint. So this has been published. I'll link to this in the show notes as well. But there's a whole section in here about Zatko's claims relevant to Twitter lying to Elon Musk about the whole bot situation, among many other things. So the 84-page document here just lists, all these different things. Talks here about read-only, phone-only, how Twitter has been very, against adopting that policy where you'd have an account verified by a phone number. Twitter executives have been kind of working against that, which, would seem like a pretty easy way to keep the spam in check. But yeah, a lot of detailed complaints in here, and that will be linked in the description as well. I know people don't want to go through probably the nuts and bolts of that, but if you do, let me know, and maybe we can take a look at that in more detail. All right, lastly then for today, an update from Elon on SpaceX and the SpaceX Twitter account as well. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, Elon and T-Mobile's Mike Sievert, I believe that's their CEO, will announce plans to increase connectivity. That's not clear if it's increasing connectivity for SpaceX or increasing connectivity for T-Mobile. I guess would be the latter. So this could potentially be a huge contract for SpaceX. Definitely something to keep on the radar for tomorrow evening, and we'll see what that announcement is all about. But that will wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, August 25th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.